Well, dear friends, thank you very much for the invitation to minister God's word to you tonight. And the thought that's in my heart tonight is walking by faith and not by sight. And I want to speak about one of the great heroes of faith that's portrayed in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Enoch, and draw strength from how Enoch walked with God and how Enoch pleased God in that walk of faith. Now, we all enjoy a good walk. We walk for exercise. We can walk around the shops. And that's usually a great privilege to the ladies. They enjoy going around the shops. Maybe the men, not so much. But we can go for a walk along the river and enjoy. We can walk for exercise. We do walk up the stairs, walk down the stairs. It's a part of life, walking. It's movement. It's so simple. And when we can't walk, we definitely miss it. So the thought is, first of all, how natural it is for us to walk. Looking up Google, it says that the average person will take, now this is quite remarkable, the average person will, on a normal day, walk between 3,000 and 4,000 steps, or the equivalent of 2 miles. That's just a normal day without going for a walk. So it's quite amazing how simple and profound walking is. And we take it so much for granted. And the first reference of walking is found in God's word. Remember when the Lord looked after and created man and woman, and he placed them in the garden, he said, and a lot of people don't realize the abundance of God's mercy and wonder to them. He says, you mayest freely eat of any tree in the garden, but one. And of course, we all know about the fall. We all know about the disobedience, that in Adam all die, in Christ all shall be made alive. And we know that when Adam sinned under the temptation of Satan, they realized that they were sinners, because the Bible talks about they heard the Lord walking in the garden. They heard the Lord walking at a distance. He didn't come to them with a big stick. He came at a distance to warn them, gently. They heard from a distance him walking in the garden. They hid themselves, because sin had such a terrible effect upon them. And there's many references about that in Scripture. We read in Leviticus 26 and 12. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. It's the Lord's desire that we copy his walk. He wanted them to walk with heads held high. What a contrast between being slaves in Egypt, being burdened by the Egyptians, being in slavery, and walking. Walking in freedom, walking with him, having that progress in life. And surely that's one of the thoughts that is so comforting to our hearts. Now there's another one in Deuteronomy 5:33. Remember that Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law after the first generation that was delivered out of Egypt suffered by wandering in the wilderness. They did not walk with the Lord, and God judged them. And it was the second generation that came after them. And we read there, 5:33, what do we read? We read, not quite clear. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. God again came to them, even through their rebellion, and a new generation had come, and it was walking with him, walking in his truth and in his freedom. A wonderful occupation. And surely Psalm 23 and 4 is a beautiful thought. Psalm 23 and 4. We often quote it, but do we really know what it means? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And the faith that the psalmist had was there because God gave him that faith, that as he walked close with God, he would fear no evil. That closeness with him, that nearness. And of course, when we think of our Maker, and we think of the wonder of creation, he lifted man right up to the apex of his creation. He made everything, and he left man to the last. But he made him in his own image. Let us, plural, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The beautiful revelation of the Trinity. God, three in one, and one in three. As Mark was praying and talking about the wonder of the Godhead and how wonderful it is, we learn of the Father walking, we learn of the Son walking, and we learn of the Spirit walking. So David here, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, says these beautiful words, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What a comfort in these days. What a comfort is in God's word. The word comfort means comfort, fortified. It's not just a gentle pat on the back. It's to be fortified. It's to be strengthened. Like a fortress that can stand against. And of course, look at John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God. As he was coming to him, John says, the next day John was there again and two of his disciples, and he saw Jesus passing by. He said, as he walked, the AV says, as he walked. The Son walking, the Trinity. God walks in the Old Testament. Christ walked. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. As he walked. Beautiful thought too in John 6:19. See there that they saw him walking on the water. A lot of people scoff and say things about walking on the water, but he is the Lord of creation. As Mark was saying, it's a beautiful thought to try and open our minds to the fact that Jesus is the human side. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But Christ is the anointed one. Jesus Christ. Two natures, perfectly balanced, never in confusion with one another, never striving to be one or the other, but beautifully balanced, wonderful beyond our understanding, like Jesus was one moment lying sleeping like a child in the boat because he had had a hard day, and the next the mighty God saying down, and the waves, and I believe there was a demon there behind it, just like we see today the waves lifted up all around us. Equality, the great beast of equality coming up, the great beast of pride, human pride, self-righteousness. It's all coming surging up from below. But Christ could say, down, be quiet, still. That beautiful picture of Christ, human, perfectly human, beautiful. Mighty God, Jesus Christ, perfect. Walking on the water. Our faith should be strong. See him like that. In these days, again in John 8:12, I am the light of the world, he that followeth me. And of course, he's walking there. And we're following him. Shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. And of course, the light of life is eternal life. Reaching out evermore for that perfect life of Christ, the eternal Son of God. Walking with him. Been drawn by him. And so on. We could go on and on and on. And we can talk about the Spirit of God and the Trinity. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Walk. Walk on. Walk on. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, where's that found? is found John 1 and verse 7, yes. Yeah. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, perfect fellowship with God. What a picture of beauty. What a picture of satisfaction. What a picture of true spiritual growth. Walking in the light as he is in the light. And so we could go on. And so all I'm saying here is the beauty of God showing us the development that he wanted in the Old Testament before Christ came. He wanted the people that he had brought through. He had wanted Abraham by faith to walk to the city. He wanted Moses to walk. He wanted David to walk. He wanted others to walk right through till Christ started walking. And first of all, it was, as we know quite clearly, it was closed in the nation of Israel. And outside was just a Gentile world, the Gentile dogs, and there was such a separation. And that's why today, really, if you think about it, and I believe deep down in my heart that one of the essential signs of today and our government, and Mark was praying about that and Brexit and all the rest of it, but one of the great pictures to me, and I've said this to others, is that there's only one set of people that's holding the gun almost at Corbyn's head, and that's the Jewish nation. They're the only one that's holding and is beginning to control some of the evils that's happening in our land today. God's using his own people. And it's the hatred and this anti-Semitism that's so much on the surface that is in some ways controlling our nation. You think of it. They're under judgment, but yes, they're under protection and under blessing. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that the Jews are the bookends, for he started with them and he'll finish with them. The Gentile church somewhere there. But that's maybe something that can be discussed. But there we have it. Just a simplicity of the wonder of the Godhead and each person of the Godhead portrayed in this walking condition. Now, we all know that the writer to the Hebrews developed to the Hebrews the wonder of Christ as the great high priest and brought out faith. And if you turn to Hebrews 11, you'll see there why he is so concerned to bring out the whole aspect of faith. Just a moment. Hebrews. He's talking there about a promise that was given in the Old Testament through the prophet Habakkuk, isn't it? The just shall live by faith. And there in the Old Testament, faith was now going to be shown by the writers to the Hebrews. How important it is. It says in verse 11 and 1, now faith is being sure. There's a certainty and an assurance of faith. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's to do with sight, isn't it? But it's to do with spiritual sight. It's to do with this penetration into the unseen that God gives us, that perception of seeing what is unseen. Or as Paul puts it in Romans, that it's the invisible that has made the visible. It's the invisible that has made the visible, that we can penetrate from the visible into the invisible. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, and this is it, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now what a change that is compared with the world today. The world can only see with the physical eyes. They can only see and they can only live by what they understand by physical sight. But faith penetrates right into the very heart of God. And this is the assurance that we have. This is the assurance that the Hebrew writer wanted to give. That faith was of a quality of another dimension altogether that we can live by. And it says there quite clearly, by faith Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain, because he was instructed by God. Did he listen to Adam and Eve? Did he understand? Did he know something about what God had done, sacrificing an animal and covering them over? Did he, as a young boy, take that in? Because God had worked out his purposes. Now, what is this faith that he's talking about? What does it actually mean? How is faith operated in our lives? Well, I believe if you turn to Genesis 3 and 15, you'll get the answer there. Because he said to the serpent, on your belly you will go all the days of your life. And that's how a snake crawls along the ground. I believe that. But if you turn to 3:15, you'll see there, I will put enmity I will put enmity between you and the woman. Yes, I will put enmity between you and the woman. The God has said at the beginning of Genesis that I'm going to put a determination in the woman's seed that will stand against you, Satan. And that's the faith we need. Enmity. That hatred of evil comes from faith. And we can only stand in today's society and against all that stands against us by that enmity of faith. Not our own faith. No. Not our own faith. And sometimes, oh, my weak faith is weak. And oh, Lord, how can I, and you get out of bed in the morning or one thing or another, or the enemies come to you in some way or another, and you say, oh, I'm so weak, and so weak against his onslaughts. But it's the enmity that God has said, and he's placed it in our hearts. he has. He's placed it in our souls to stand against the evil one. I will put enmity. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews is trying to drive into these Hebrew Christians. He's going to say, that's the quality of faith you need. And that's the quality of faith that these heroes of faith had. Abel had that enmity. Enoch had the enmity. Noah had the enmity. Do we have it? Do we stand on that? Do we stand on it so firm? Because look what it did for Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life. Now let's turn to Genesis 5, and you'll see there something of the life of Enoch. And it's very, very interesting. It's tremendously interesting, the life of Enoch. 5:11. When Enoch had lived 65 years. Now that's a reasonable time of life. 65 years. He became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. 300 years plus 65 years is 365 years. And how many days is in a year? 365. So God gave Enoch for every day of the year a year of life. 365 days in the year, and he gave him 365 years. Isn't that wonderful? 365 fold of blessing. And had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was no more, because the Lord took him away. Wonderful, the life of faith that Enoch had. So the principle of faith is this enmity. The principle of faith is this enmity. And the progress of faith, Enoch walked with God. He progressed in faith. And he gave pleasure to God. It pleased God. Do we live lives pleasing to him by faith? This high dimension of life that we can live day by day. I think that's wonderful. And it gives pleasure. And of course, if we give pleasure to God, God gives us pleasure in return. I believe it's full circle, return to sender. He sends the blessings down and we send them back to him. It's a full circle. It's going round and round. God's love is like a circle big and round. Whenever you see a circle, you know that God's love is found. Something of that nature. Just a children's hymn, but a beautiful hymn. And it's tremendously profound. To think that we're walking along day by day, just maybe doing our business, and the blessings is coming down from God through our lives, and they're going back up to the Father again. There's this circulation of love in a world that's full of unbelief, in a world that's full of cynicism, in a world that's totally against anything of this dimension, we can have that wonderful peace and prosperity. So Enoch walked with God, but this walk of God that he took with God all these years in such a consistent and wonderful way, what was the culture around about him? Well, I believe the culture was just exactly as it is today. If you turn to Jude 14, Jude 1 and 14, you'll learn there something about. And we often say, oh, the world is getting dark and difficult, and oh, the Christian life. Sometimes we feel like Elijah, when Elijah thought that he was the only one that was left, and the Lord said, no, no, I've got 7,000 that hasn't bowed the knee to Baal. Look what it says about Enoch. Enoch, the seventh from Adam. He is the seventh descendant from Adam. You can have a look at that in the first book of Chronicles, chapter 1. Prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands and thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way, and all of the harsh words the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now that's just exactly what we have today. We have people doing ungodly acts, and they speak ungodly things on our televisions and that, as if there was no God and all the rest of it. But Enoch walked straight on in the midst of all that culture. He walked straight on with God. And he told them quite clearly that the Lord would judge them and judge every word. Do you think that, have you got that confidence today when we walk daily with the Lord, that our lives as we walk and believe, out of the fullness of the heart the mouth speaks, and we preach, whether we get the opportunity to say verbal words or not, our lives preach. Out of the fullness of the heart of faith, we speak. We speak to a world that is against God, a world that is dark and difficult, a world that we keep on. And we're doing that. And we never, Enoch never diverted from that. And it pleased God. It pleased him. It pleased him above all things. And Enoch walked. He never saw death. He never saw it. He never saw it. He never saw it. God took him. God took him. God took him to glory. He walked. He was so transformed by that walk of doing that which pleased the Lord, that he never saw death. Wonderful, wonderful, because the verse says that these men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm. They're shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain. Now, how can you be a cloud without rain? They're absolutely hypocrites. Blown along by the wind without autumn trees without fruit. And this is what Enoch was prophesying against. There's people today, and they've got money and all the rest of it, and all the world's goods. but they're like autumn trees without fruit. On the surface, they might have everything, but their lives are empty and helpless. And they just pass away. They're blown away. How many of the celebrities have just disappeared off the face of the earth? But Enoch went to glory. Wonderful. So that's just a few thoughts on the life of Enoch. And it's been a great blessing to my own heart. It's been a great blessing, and a great encouragement to me in the what I seek to do for the Lord by walking the streets of Belfast and giving out some tracts, seeing people in their need and everything like that, and holding forth the word of the Lord. It was wonderful to meet Mark at Westminster Bridge, and so much has developed from that. James has come to study at Queen's University in Belfast. He's been out to our house, and we had four students from America out to our house that were also studying in Queen's Belfast. They had come over, two from Utah, and two from Wisconsin in the States. And they were over in their 3 months visit to Queens, and they were doing anthropology. They've gone back to the States, but it was through the street work that they were contacted, and they came along to our church and heard the gospel, and we're still in contact with them yet. So the work is going on, Mark, and we pray for it. Pray for your work here too. And let's be encouraged with this thought about the life of Enoch, that by faith, and that he held that firm enmity in his heart, that God had promised that he would give his children to survive. And to think on it, how long-suffering God was. In Enoch's day, it took his great-grandson, Noah. He suffered the evil of these men until the flood came. It was Noah that built the ark in holy fear. And a lot of people today would say, if you mentioned the ark, oh, that was to save all the animals. It was to save his family. And it was to save the enmity that he had put in Noah's heart. It was in holy fear that he built the ark. And that enmity that Enoch had, that was determined to walk with God, that same enmity was in Noah, that even though they laughed at him and scorned at him and said, "You're mad," like they say to us today, "You're mad in believing something you can't see." Boy, oh boy. No. We triumph in it, and we see the Lord in our lives determined to show that enmity to the world. So I close with this thought. Oh, for a closer walk with God. A calm and heavenly frame. A light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. So I hope you enjoyed that message, Lorna. God bless you.
Oh, thank you.
And I've changed the hymn. I will sing 477 in the hymn book. When we walk with the Lord. in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Now, there is a red book here. Yeah.